Welcome to In the Name of Game.
Welcome to In the Name of Game, and this is our Halloween special. Oh God! Welcome to our Halloween special. I'm your host Iggy,
and I'm your co-host Colin,
and I'm your co-host Knox.
Yep.
You sound like that fucking Sesame Street monster, the aliens.
Oh, yep. Nope.
Radio.
Chicka.
Okay. So I'm just going to be thinking about that the whole time. We got a really cool special event podcast for you today. It's Halloween, so let's be festive and talk about our favorite Halloween games.
Woo!
Kind of... Boo!
This is spooky.
As in boo!
Yeah, not...
We're ghosts!
Boo or boo-erns?
Boo-erns. But, they're saying yeah. Boo-erns.
I was saying Boo-erns. We have a lot of fun, like Halloween games from our past to talk about, and some current Halloween sort of related news. Actually, let me get that out of the way first. So, this week, when I just played it the other night, which is great, the Team Fortress 2 update was a Halloween update, and it's a brand new map called like Hell Tower, I think. So, you can play that with all your friends. It's a pretty fun map. It does this weird, like, standard payload type map at the beginning. And then depending on who wins first, then it goes into, like, it takes everyone to hell and they do the Thriller dance. And then you have to rush. You have to rush to the exit where you steal this, like, giant Necronomicon-style book.
Yes.
It's pretty fun. I liked it.
You got a problem with the Necronomicon?
Yeah.
Does it have Bruce Campbell?
No.
Does it have Klaatu Barada Nikto?
It's not. It's the Bominomicon. The Bominomicon. There's a big bomb in the book instead of a, you know. But yeah, so
instead
that's...
Instead of the thing.
What's in the book?
And there's
what's in the book?
There's a bunch of new like hats and
oh boy, here we go.
Halloween.
We haven't
costumes.
Talked about this in like a year.
I'm saying that on purpose because I know you hate it. But there's actually some really funny Halloween themed items this year. So and of course, like previous years, anything that you already had that's Halloween based, you can wear. They changed the restrictions a little bit. It used to be if you had a Halloween item, you could only wear it on Halloween. Now it's like you can also wear it on a full moon, or I think just when you're in a Halloween map. So you know, you can kind of wear it more often, which is nice. But anyway, so that's the TF2 update. There's a really neat comic that goes along with it that, what's her name, Makani drew.
Is it Makani again?
I believe so.
I might actually read it.
Yeah. It's about the two dueling brothers, Red and Blue.
Yeah.
And how they became ghosts, and now how they're trying to get the Red and Blue teams to fight for each other's like souls or some weird shit.
Man, remember when she was just a thing on TF2, Chan?
Yeah.
Man.
She's successful now.
Yeah, I guess. I guess.
Yes. Anyway, so it's...
There was also a bit of a reskin of Cave Story, at least on Steam. I don't know if it's across the board, but...
I'm sure it was just on Steam, because it'd probably automatically update, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of adorable reskins. Characters become Halloween characters. It's
what a strange choice, though. I'm surprised they did that, considering it's a Japanese game.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wonder if like the localization team did something there.
Well, does Japan celebrate Halloween at all?
They do, sort of. It's not nearly... I mean, it's not like a... I don't know. It's
not
like,
as
you know,
much.
It's not, yeah, like, the big thing I always hear about, like, there was a train in Tokyo, like, I think it might be the Yamanote line that goes around Tokyo. There's always, like, a bunch of Western expats who, like, take it over and wear costumes and stuff. But, like, I remember that, like, they were causing such a ruckus that that Japan Rail was always giving them shit. Like, they were just causing so much trouble that they were, like, kicking them off the train and stuff like that. So,
maybe
I don't know. Maybe
catching blasts of a hype burst.
Yeah, pretty much. You know,
I bet everyone else just thinks like, "Oh, cosplayers" or something like that when they see Halloween costumes.
It's a commonplace there. I mean, especially in some districts of Tokyo, like Akiba. You know, it wouldn't be that unusual to run into costumes. Yeah. So I find that a little surprising.
Huh.
But Japan's strange. So.
Yeah. One other thing I wanted to mention, not Japan related, but just this week they released a teaser for the second season of the Walking Dead video game, Walking Dead 2. I don't really know what they're calling it right now, but it looks like from the teaser video you might be in control of Clementine.
That'd
So
be cool.
that seems potentially
Has
really
she
awesome.
aged at all?
It's hard to tell. It looks like maybe a tiny bit older, but I think this almost directly takes this place takes place almost directly after the first season. So maybe only by a couple months or something. I don't think it's very much. Yeah, she's not like a teenager or something now. That'd be a little hard to believe, maybe. But yeah, no. So you could pre-order it now off of Steam, and I think you get like a 10% discount or something if you pre-order it before it comes out. Speaking of, well, it's kind of related because there's monsters and stuff. I had a chance to play The Wolf Among Us, which is Telltale's other game based off of the Fables comic series, and pretty good stuff. I mean, it's not like scary, although the main guy is like a wolf man, so I guess technically that could
They should
count.
make a Teen Wolf game, is what we need.
Oh, God.
I'm not sure, but
Do you
since
think that would be good?
No, considering that the original movie came out in what, the 80s, I always kind of assumed there was an NES game floating around because
Right.
they
There's
used
gotta
to,
be something out there.
yeah, they used to license almost every fucking movie into a game at some point back then. But I don't know. If it is, it's probably really shitty, like just some side-scrolling, like oh, jump on everyone's head, like a la Mario kind of thing, but with like a wolf kid.
Mario. Yep.
But yeah, so I think that's the only kind of monstery Halloween. Ish stuff I could think of for this week, unless you guys.
I did play another scary game myself this week.
What did you play?
Rome 2 Total War.
Ooh,
And it was
snap.
the most disturbing thing I've played in a while.
Why?
Yeah,
How?
why? I want to
You
hear
watch
why.
it, it's just everything is so retarded that you realize, wow, these guys got millions of dollars to half-ass a game, and that's just freaky.
That's
And some scary
scary.
shit.
Okay, you're stretching it like a bit.
That
I'm
is
sorry.
scary.
I'm sorry. As someone who has played and loved a lot of Total War games in my day, seeing what this franchise was becoming was scary to me because it's a DLC-ridden beta
Piece of
release
shit.
piece of shit. And
Speaking of bad games,
what
though,
other franchises are
Call of
doing
Duty
that?
Ghosts.
No. Now I was gonna say
Ghosts, that's scary. Yeah,
the
ghosts are
Rome
scary.
the Total War Rome game reminds me they just announced that EA closed Victory Games that was working on that free to play
Oh yeah,
Command
I
and
did see
Conquer.
that. Yeah.
I mean that feels kind of related to me, but I was surprised because they claim that well we had gotten a lot of feedback during the alpha or beta or whatever that they had been running for the game, and it seems from people's comments or feedback or whatever that it just wasn't becoming the game that they wanted it to be. So in a very unusual move, because usually even if it doesn't seem like it's becoming the game they want, they still end up kind of like making it anyway. But they just decided, nope, we're not gonna make this game.
I wonder if
And
that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I don't know. I mean, some people were actually glad that this happened. I mean, obviously not glad for the poor people that lost their fucking jobs, but like
Yeah.
they were glad that it looked like EA was at least taking into account like, okay, if this is gonna be a bad game, let's not actually make it.
They were glad EA wasn't going to take a poop again.
I guess.
Well, yeah.
I'm just hoping that that was the actual reason and not some weird shitty thing on EA's part where they're like, oh, we just don't care, so we're gonna make it look like we actually cared about, a game's quality.
SimCity.
Yeah.
Oh.
When is that offline mode coming out?
Wait, what? No, you don't understand. It's gonna be a $20 piece of DLC.
Oh, God.
Well,
That's scary. There you go.
That's
Didn't they
real
just also
scary.
post like a net loss of $273 million for the last quarter?
Oh,
Some people have got to find that
Jesus.
rather frightening, right?
Yeah,
Oh,
they're
no. I was gonna say,
Oh no.
beat me to it.
Woo!
So the stockholders become ghosts.
Ow! Yes, they're
Oh,
scared.
Jesus. Yeah.
We're
Anyway.
ghosts.
So that's, I guess, the current sort of scary related news. But let's get to the meat of our Halloween episode, and let's take the little Wayback Machine back
Ooh.
to some of our favorite games of
Gotta
yesteryear.
go 88 miles an hour.
Yeah, negative 88? No, you got 88.
No. You gotta go 88. You just gotta set the flux capacitor right.
Yes, 88.
That's right. Actually, there were some Back to the Future games that were pretty scary because they're so fucking bad.
1.21 gig. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's do a little roundtable here for those of us that are here today to talk about some of our favorite scary moments in various games. And now, it doesn't have to be like, you know, crap your pants scary. It could be like creepy or eerie or just like a cool kind of Halloween vibe or monstery vibe.
Yeah.
I think.
Mm. Yeah. Iggy, please start.
Yeah, because I have too many of these to talk about, so it's easy for me to start. First off, okay, I know it's really obvious to do the Resident Evil series or Silent Hill or whatever, but let me take you guys back further. Let me do the little Wayne's World, like, thing, which maybe some people don't get anymore, which will make me feel really old. There was a game by a studio that I don't think exists anymore called Trilobite.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Studios called The Seventh Guest. And for anyone in my age group, which is turning into the early 30s, you might remember this game because it was a really unusual. At its core, it was a puzzle game. So that by itself is not scary. But the setting was infinitely, not scarier, infinitely creepier. Now, keep in mind, this is still kind of around the time where people wanted to use live action acting, like FMV stuff within games. Not necessarily FMV games, but live action cutscenes within games, especially for PC games. And this was no different. So the story is told through live action scenes that are imposed upon 3D backgrounds, which always looks a little, you know, kind of weird, like, because you can totally tell that the 3D rooms aren't really, like, real rooms, because the 3D modeling at the time was still not, like, super realistic. But that's okay. It's kind of campy and fun, whatever. So the story for The Seventh Guest is actually really sort of disturbing. So there's this creepy guy named Henry Stauff, and one day, I can't remember, it's been so long since I played the game, I'm not sure if he was inspired to make them or if he just was a doll maker. So he made these dolls, or was told to make these dolls, and he came to this town, and I think he was poor or something like that. So in exchange for food or clothing or whatever, he was carving these, you know, little girly dolls for kids to enjoy. And the kids loved the dolls, and he was actually able to make a living selling his toys, and he kind of expanded and made a lot of, like, little trinket toys and, you know, like, that kind of thing. And the creepy part comes in where the kids that had the toys started dying. So they were getting sick and sick. And it's just the way that they tell the story is really creepy, because they're doing it in, like, a storybook format in the beginning of the game, where it's like, you know, the little page turning and then another scene happens and then the page turns and stuff. And the music starts getting all warped and twisted when it says, and then the narrator, by the way, is really weird sounding, like the enunciates like really weird parts of words and stuff. It goes, until the kids started dying. They don't actually show the kid dead, but, you know, you start seeing the beginnings of whatever this evil doll disease is. So meanwhile, during this whole, you know, doll virus killing kids thing, Stauff makes so much money from his toys that he creates this mansion, and he has this vision of a mansion full of his Stauff brand toys. So he creates this mansion, and he invites six guests, six, like, weird, you know, from different parts of the country kind of guests. Like, they're all kind of eclectic.
Colonel Mustard, Professor Plum.
Exactly. Like, they all have some weird quality about each one of them, right? So he invites them there. And I can't remember, it's something weird, like, he offers this challenge. If you can solve all the puzzles in my mansion, you'll win, like, a fortune or whatever. But they're told through ghosts, so clearly something happened to these people, because you're only getting ideas of what the story, like, the story unfolds through these kind of ghost flashbacks. Like, they can't see you, but you go into this room, and then you see ghosts essentially acting out a scene that had existed in the past. So the concept is kind of interesting. It's like, it's not your typical puzzle game, because granted, in each room you come across a puzzle and you solve it and you move on. But it's motivated by this weird underlying, like, creepy story. And then, of course, Seventh Guest. Who's the Seventh Guest? You're the Seventh Guest.
Uh-oh.
You're trapped in the mansion. And then you have to solve the puzzles to get out or something. And then, so the game at the time did really well. because it was really unusual and there hadn't been a game like it before. So I think at some point Trilobite was able to make a sequel game, which I never played, but my understanding was it was pretty similar, called The 11th Hour. So more of the same. And then I think they folded shortly after. I don't remember what happened to them after that, because it's a very niche kind of market. Like, it's a weird game. But the overall game, not super scary, kind of creepy feeling, especially that beginning part where they're talking about the kids and how stuff started becoming, like, demonic evil or whatever. Mm. But there's this one part that, as a kid, freaked me out, where when you enter the mansion, sometimes when you go to a room or upstairs or something like that, it triggers a scene to play. And usually it's a ghost scene with ghosts talking to each other. And it's not scary because it's really shitty acting. So you see two people talking to each other. It's like, okay, they're super hams because they're just hamming it up way too much. But there was...
Do they say, we're ghosts?
No, because they don't know that they're ghosts. It's just as if somebody was pressing like a ghost VCR and you're like watching something happen and it's not, you know, in real time. But there's this part where you initially walk up the main mansion stairs inside, and there's this creepy painting against the wall, and nothing happens if you don't, like, interact with the painting. But me being a little kid that pokes at everything, I was like, huh, and I clicked on the painting, and it makes this creepy noise, like, dang, or whatever like that, and these hands start trying to come out of the painting.
Okay.
And when I, yeah, right?
Nope, 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 nope.
So when I watched it, I was like, like, I kind of out as a kid. I was like, when did this game come out? I was like 11 or 12 or something. So I was like, oh god, that's kind of that's kind of freaking me the fuck out. So I had this issue with that game where I kind of wanted to play it, but you know that other part of you is like, you feel really uncomfortable when you're playing it because you know it's sort of freaking you out at the same time. But it's just a puzzle game, so my rational side was like, what the fuck are you scared about? There's nothing scary here. You're arranging cans on a shelf for a puzzle. But yeah, that was a really good game. Something else that freaked me out, but it wasn't a freaky game, was if you guys ever played, I think it was Space Quest 4? They're very similar, so I always have a hard time figuring it out. It's the one that's narrated by that really famous voice actor, Gary... God damn it. What is his name? I can't remember his name.
Kasparov.
What?
He was a chess grandmaster.
Gary Newman.
No. Gary Owens. Gary Owens has a very, like, if you look him up, I don't know why it took me so long.
That was my second guess.
Gary Owens, traditional, like, and then they went to the, you know, the kind where you can imagine them holding their hand up to their ear, like, as, like, a radio style, kind of, like, talking. And actually, he used to ham it up and do that, so it looks like he's really, like, overacting and stuff. Anyway, so it's that Space Quest where it has his voiceover. There's this part where you're in this weird, like, post-apocalyptic future. Now, granted, it's been a long time since I played, so I can't remember the details. But I know in those screens, like, if you ever played a Sierra Online game, you know, it goes from screen to screen. Like, it'll load a totally different screen when you click off to the side or whatever. There were a couple of these screens where you couldn't stay on that screen for too long. Otherwise, it would trigger this, like, guy to come that would instantly kill you. So, right? I hate that because it freaks
me. Like the Yeti from Ski Free?
Oh, God.
Yes, but see, that screen is constantly moving, so that's different. This is like, you know, if you ever played King's Quest or something, you have that stationary screen, and then you click off to the corner, and then it moves you to, like, another new screen.
Yeah.
So, Space Quest had that, and I can't remember. I hung around in one screen too long, because I was, like, clicking every fucking pixel, because you never know, like, it was kind of like Final Fantasy VII. Like, you don't know what you can interact with until you, like, click every bit of the rendered background. And then this weird guy that looks like he had been lobotomized or something like that comes up, and, like, they do this close-up where you see his whole face, and he's, like, screaming at you, and then you just, like, die. And I didn't know that was going to happen, so I kind of was like, and then I stopped playing the game for a while. This is also when I was around that same age, so it's like a lot of these games I was not really prepared for, because I was assuming it was going to be like King's Quest, and everyone's, like, happy and yay, and there's a talking owl, and woo, you know. Very non-threatening. So that was one of my first space... Space Quest experience.
Space Ghost.
And it was kind of freaky.
He's the ghost with the most babes.
Yeah. But
What's with Beetlejuice?
Do they have they? That's one thing they made surprisingly unscary. I always forget that, like, the cartoon for Beetlejuice was almost nothing like the movie. Yeah.
You know, the animation in that show is actually surprisingly good.
It depended.
I watched. There was someone. I hate saying it, it was on Tumblr. Somebody had posted like GIFs of some of the animation.
Oh, right.
And it actually looked pretty good.
The intro looked great. It was kind of that same thing that most. I mean, even cartoons today still suffer from the problem of, like, it looks like they put their whole budget in, like, the intro bit.
Yeah.
So, like, the first minute is, like, godly, and then you watch the show and you're like, what? That doesn't.
This sucks.
Yeah, especially with 80s cartoons. Jesus. Like, the 80s always look like they were done by, like, animators, like, at the very beginning. Like, if you ever saw Cops or, like, I'm trying to think of certain cartoons where it's like, no, Biker Mice from Mars look kind of the same. That wasn't a big improvement. But there were certain things that had, like, very humanoid characters that looked amazing in the beginning. And then as soon as it went to, like, the intro of the actual episode with, you know, the title of the episode, it was, like, 50% shittier. I don't know why. Anyway, but that's not scary. So those two were lesser known things that I was surprised that they kind of freaked me out. But there was a big, like, in the 90s, a lot of, like, creepy games were really popular. Like, did you guys ever play, what was it called, Splatterhouse?
I've heard of it, but I never played. Didn't they just re-release something like a year or two ago?
Yeah.
Probably.
Like, they made a new version. Yeah, yeah, of course. What am I talking about? Of course they did.
You actually were, like, a creepy guy. Like, that was, the protagonist was, like, it looked like a, what's his name with the hockey mask? Jason?
Jason Voorhees, yeah.
Jason type character that was all pumped up and shirtless and shit. So it was kind of an interesting spin on it. I never got a chance to play it, but I always saw it advertised in, like, the video game magazines. And from what I understood, I guess the quality was good. Like, they had big sprites. Because remember back in the day, big sprites equals good graphics.
Yeah.
It was 16-bit because you had, like, a main character sprite that was, like, four times as big as Mario or something like that. And it was detailed and all that shit. There's a Wikipedia entry for it. And I guess it was developed by Namco. And it was actually called in Japanese, Spurata House.
Spurata House. Yeah.
Spurata, yeah.
I'm not surprised.
They just spelled it out like that. Like, okay.
Let me look at Splatterhouse. They always do that.
So yeah.
Yes. Spurata House. I love the Japanese.
Yeah. But that was on. I think it was like the Genesis or something like that. Back in the day, I can't remember.
No. It was an arcade game. I remember seeing it once in a while.
Yeah. One game, if David was here, I know he would talk about this, but if you guys ever played the game Shadowgate on the NES, it was also on the PC, I think. He loved that game, Shadowgate. So Shadowgate, this is the last, like, old game I'll probably mention, was an interesting game because it was still back in the day where, you know, you're not doing first-person shooter type things, but they wanted it to look like you were in first person. So it's kind of one of those, you know, tile by tile type of adventure RPG type games where.
What was that game they just released? That was new. That was a tile by tile, but it was 3D.
Shit.
I've seen you playing it on Steam.
Yeah.
And it's on my wish list. What is it?
Oh my god, I can't.
It's a fan. It's an old school RPG. It's tile by tile, and it's from first person.
Oh.
It doesn't matter the name, but I mean, it's the same idea.
Oh my god, what? That's going to really bother me now.
Yeah, don't worry about it. You're talking about Shadowgate.
I'll remember it. But so, Shadowgate, here, let me, while we're talking, I'll put it in this, I put it in the Skype window so you guys can see what I'm talking about. So it would have a nice big screen off to the side where you could actually see, like, what you're supposed to be seeing in first person, like when you come into a room. And then on the side, you would get your listing of what items you're carrying in your backpack. And then on the bottom, it would say, like, the description as if it was, like, a text-based game, even though it wasn't, like, you've entered this room and there's torches on the side and blah, blah, blah. So it was adventure-y like that in terms of, like, there would be puzzles that you would need to solve. Like, you find this object in one room and then you go to another room and use it there. But they would give you absolutely no indication of, like, where to use it. So it was really a lot of, like, trial and error. But the scary thing came in because you would have a finite amount of torches to keep your vision kind of lit the whole time. And if the torches ever went out completely, you just get killed by something really.
Oh my god.
Creepy, you know, like what? But do you hate that mechanic? Or does that freak?
No, you? I just hate like this these old graphics coupled with that sort of stuff. Oh. Like it's almost creepier that these graphics were so bad.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I'll talk about it later. But keep talking, yeah.
So, yeah, Shadowgate was pretty interesting at the time, but it's also pretty limited too, because it's not like the only thing that was really technically in real time was the torch mechanic, because everything else kind of, you know, you could just leave the game and, well, actually you couldn't leave the game because of torches. If it wasn't for the torches, you wouldn't be any imminent danger until you made like a move.
I remember they made like a Shadowgate 64 or something like that.
Yes, I believe they did. I don't know if it was related to this. It seems like if it was 64, it would be pretty different, though, because this is pretty basic.
It was for the Nintendo 64, but I think it is a... It was an incredibly simplistic game, so it was probably directly related to it.
I'm reading about it. It says it's like the first-person view of the first game. It's similar, yeah. It's probably one of those experiments in the early days of first, like true first person.
Yeah. I don't recall it being anything at all.
The other game I was thinking of that kind of reminds me of this, but it was like a first person game, was Stonekeep, which is similar to the Tile by Tile game I can't remember the name of right now, which is going to drive me nuts.
Which I'm going to look up.
Where it's the same kind of concept where everything's in real time, but you are, moving like a tile at a time in front of you and back, so you can't just do it's almost like tank controls, like you move and then you'll need to like rotate one tile to the side or a tile to the right. Like you can't just run willy-nilly or strafe however you want. It's more restrictive, but it was the same concept, because it's like you also have inventory, kind of an RPG style where you can, you know, use magic and use swords and whatever. And that one wasn't so scary, but it did have kind of creepy moments as well, because it was like you're in this kind of underground, like everything, every level was more of the underground dungeon. So the further down you go, the more like demon-looking things you encounter, and you know, just kind of eerie. But again, like Seventh Guest, they just had to have live-action people in it every now and then. So something about that...
That's so cheesy. It
looks cheesy. Even back then, it's still...
They did that...
Phasmagoria.
Yeah, they did that in, like, MechWarrior 4, and I remember it being so cheesy. Like,
just they did.
Yeah, it was just terrible. I don't know. I guess it's because, like, back then they couldn't have, like, real actors. You know, like, actual, like, good actors, I guess you should say.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I got it. It's The Legend of Grimrock. I don't know why.
There it is. Yes.
Oh yeah.
That's really gonna bug me that I couldn't remember it, because I played it a lot. But Legend of Grimrock.
You were playing it like all last Christmas.
Oh yeah. It's good, because if you like Stonekeep, if you like that sort of tile by tile type of like fantasy adventure game sort of thing, you'd like Legend of Grimrock for sure, because it's almost like a spiritual successor to me. Even though it's totally different companies, it feels like it's related to Stonekeep. But yeah, so there are those games. There's the obvious ones where you guys could join in with me about your favorite bits of these games, but the Resident Evil series and the Silent Hill series.
I've never played a Silent Hill game.
What?
I really haven't. I've never seen the movie. I've never played a Silent Hill game.
You never like watched someone play it?
No, I've never seen it in action.
Oh man, you've been missing out.
I know, the thing is like my good buddy Chuck, like she sent me one year a copy of Silent Hill 2, I think.
Uh-huh.
For the PS. Yeah. No, it's for the Xbox, because she knows I have a 360, so she sent me an old copy of an original Xbox version of Silent Hill, and I still haven't played it. It's like I set it aside and it's just like, oh, I kind of forgot.
Did you ever watch the Truman Show copy you received in the mail?
Yes, I did.
Uh-huh. But you didn't, like, it took you a long time.
It took me a long time to watch it. It's just like I have like a big pile of DVDs and video games that I mean to play. Hmm. It's the same thing on Steve, where I have all these games. It's the same thing on Steam, where I have all these games, and I just haven't played them. It's like I have 75 games on Steam, and I've probably played about 15.
Oh man, you got to get
but
on
anyway. I know some of the tropes from it, like the fog and the pyramid head.
But see, that's what real briefly. That one of the things I liked about, I love both series, But one of the things I liked about Silent Hill was Resident Evil was fun, but it was also like campy, scary fun. Like, you know, you would sometimes jump because it would just do like the jump scare type tactics. Or like all of a sudden a dog jumps out the window and you're scared more because you're startled from the instant noise that just happened. Like, not necessarily because the thing that happened is scary, but just from like you being startled. But Silent Hill would be like legitimately like disturbing sometimes. Like, the first thing I always remember from the Silent Hill stories from Silent Hill was that one of the reasons why they did the fog was actually a technical way to get around.
I was gonna say, wasn't it a technical thing to keep the draw distance down?
Yeah, and it was very smart, by the way. They could keep the draw distance like way down because you had fog basically blocking your view from maybe 20 feet in front of your face. You know, you go 20, 30 feet and all of a sudden it's just a blanket fog kind of effect. And, so they were able to get away with maybe not necessarily detailing as much even that far away because, you know, everything's kind of fuzzy due to the fog. It's difficult to see. But the upside of that visually was that it made things much creepier because, you know, if you could look all the way down a street, it wouldn't seem scary because you could see what was at the end of the street. But when you're on a Silent Hill street, you can't even see halfway down the street. So you start realizing, like, there could be a fucking dog or a bird or something that just is waiting to jump me and, like, eat me.
To rip my throat out.
Exactly. And the other thing that they did, which was not a technical reason, but it was good because when you combine it with the fog, it scares most people, is that instead of using like a mini map or something like that, well, I guess at the time they still hadn't really done mini maps for a lot of games, they gave you a small radio that your character put on their shirt pocket or something, that whenever an enemy was near, it would do radio static. And so when you mix a radio static noise with fucking fog and like a dark setting, it just always kind of makes you feel this sense of unease because you're like, I know it's something is near. I don't know where it is. And you don't want to get hit by something because the other thing, unlike a Resident Evil where you usually have like weapons or some kind of resilience to like, you know, getting eaten, Silent Hill purposely made it so that you are a lot weaker as a person, and more like a real person. Like, you can't just sucker punch like everything you want, like uppercuts here and there. Like, you know, no, like most of the time you're pretty weak. And even when you have a weapon, you don't wield it very well. Like if you have a stick or something, it'd be kind of like, he's kind of retarded when he moves it around and stuff. So it's like, yeah, granted, there were some weapons, like, okay, shotgun or whatever is pretty good, but, like, when you're starting out, you don't really have anything. So you end up being on the run more often because you just don't want to engage any of these enemies. You want to stay away from them. So that's why when you hear static and stuff, you're like, fuck, because, like, you want to start running the other direction so that static starts going quieter and quieter. So very effective.
Sounds kind of like, yeah, it's like Thief, I guess, kind of in that regard.
Yeah, it is a little bit.
But it's really, both of those concepts are really good. Thief is good. Thief made me nervous because, you know, it's that little, I can't remember if it's the second or third game where it has that little jewel that, like, gets brighter or dimmer depending on if you're in the shadow or not.
No, it did that in the first game.
Did? Okay.
Yeah.
I never played the very first game. I would get freaked out just because they purposely in that game made it so that you're physically weaker than those knights or whatever that you're always trying to sneak around. Yeah. So it's a good incentive for you to be stealthy because you don't want to try to go one-on-one against one because you're going to die or you're going to get almost dead. Yeah. It's not like Dishonored or something where you just like destroy everybody, even if you fuck up your stealth. So that in a way, not in a Halloween way, but in a freaky way kind of would scare me because it's like, I don't want him to see me. Oh, he's getting really close to me. Okay. Whew. Whew. He didn't see me. Oh God. Yeah. But that to me is more scary than anything with like, oh, a really detailed monster coming around at the corner or something like where you can see it coming. It's the your imagination element that makes it scarier to me. Like, you know, when people are watching Signs And some elements of Signs were actually kind of creepy because that's before you saw the aliens in Signs.
Yeah.
And you're like,
I think Mel Gibson was the scariest part of that movie.
Wah, wah, yes. But, like, it was scary before they showed the aliens because I think your imagination, because you don't know what it is, somehow that makes everything freakier. And it's more effective. Once you see those weird, like, stretched out aliens, you're like, oh, it looks kind of stupid. And then you're not scared anymore.
Looks like M. Night ran out of plot ideas.
Yeah, like he borrowed the Spielberg aliens and they just made them darker and stretched them out more.
What if we make them weak to water?
Although there, yeah.
What a twist!
Yeah, what a twist. There were a couple of moments I can think of offhand. Before I stop saying Silent Hill stuff, so there were some really good moments in general. I only played the first two Silent Hills. I didn't play the other ones, but I watched people play some of the other ones, so I don't really recall like the details. But there was one in particular in the second game that I was playing, and my brother was watching. And we got to this part story-wise that it actually did have a jump scare, which I don't think happens super often in Silent Hill games. Usually it's just more like, ugh, I feel gross, you know, like while I'm playing it, where there's a key or something that was behind this gate and inside this building. And there was just enough space on the ground under the gate, where there was this cutscene where my character was trying to put his hand under the gate to try to grab the key. And then so somebody's foot or something like stepped down like immediately with like a noise. And I was like, oh, like we weren't expecting that to happen. So we both fucking jump and we're like, pause. Okay. Let's deflate.
You had to pause the game.
Well, I don't think you could pause at the time, but like as soon as that cutscene was over, we were like, oh God. But that one's scary too, because there's a couple instances where, you know, there's that pyramid head dude, and sometimes you can, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure you could hide in closets and stuff sometimes. I swear there was a scene where, unless my brain is making this up, where you could hide in a closet and see pyramid head, like, attacking another weird monster or something, and it freaks you out because it's like, you're in that room, and you can't leave that closet now, because that thing is, like, I don't know, like raping or mutilating some other monster. You know what it's going to do to you? It's probably much worse. there was a bunch of really, like, in general, you should play it just because it's very bizarre. And
I enjoy bizarre stuff like that.
Yeah, it's nothing like Resident Evil. But I will say, at least two moments in Resident Evil 2 that freak. Well, two moments in Resident Evil 2 and one in particular in 4 that I was like, oh, nope, take a break. Gotta take a break. Like the. In Resident Evil 2, which is, I think, the best Resident Evil, I'm not speaking out of nostalgia either. I think if you ask most people, they seem to have the best opinions of the second game. And then, and then maybe...
I mean, honestly, it started to take turns after that that I wasn't really fond of, so...
Yeah. I mean, 4 still had a lot of really good elements, right? But 2, overall, as a whole package, was really satisfying. But in 2, if you guys remember... That hallway with the crows, where you step into this hallway, and usually in that whole game, there's some kind of music happening, right? But you step into that hallway, and there's all of a sudden no music at all. And you're like,
that's always bad.
Yeah, and you're like, okay. And then it's a thin hallway. So you're like, okay. It's like, there's not a lot of room to run if something like is going to jump out at you. And you're walking through. And I can't remember, there's a bunch of windows to your side. And I can't remember if some of them are already, like, broken or not. But it's super quiet. Nothing comes out of the windows. And you're like, okay. And just to the point where you're starting to think, like, maybe there's nothing in this room yet, like, that I've triggered. I think it was when I started walking back out of the room or something, where all the windows shatter and these fucking crows come in and it smashes you over the head with this music that's like, dun-dun! Dun-dun! And then really, the worst part, the absolute worst part, and this is my own fault, I had the stereo on when I was playing that game, so it was like 50 times louder because I had turned it up a little bit because I was like, this part of the game's getting kind of quiet. So I jump scared myself because I wasn't prepared for that. But most of the game had some cool moments, not really freaky, except for when the nemesis started running around. Now, if you guys remember that, sometimes the nemesis would just pop up all of a sudden and you'd have to fucking run away. Like, you couldn't fight it. You had to just run away from it. The other time that scared me in the game was when the nemesis, I was in some kind of, you know, it's a big police building. And I was in this, like, conference room or something that looks like, you know, when people have their, like, police meetings or whatever. And I was like, wow, there's nothing in here. I got, like, a clue or something that I picked up. And there were zombies before I got into the room. So I figured, okay, this seems pretty cut and dry, like most of the other parts of the game. So as I'm leaving, fucking Nemesis busts through the wall and starts, like, doing, you know, like, chasing after me. And it's a thin hallway. So I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, you can't really, you have to wait. You have to have the balls to get close to him and wait till he raises up his hands really slow to try to smash down on you and then, like, run under. So I was like, okay, go, just fucking run, go, don't look back. And you remember the controls were shit for the original.
Oh, yeah, they were terrible.
Like, you were almost more scared because you were rotating around like a fucking slow-ass tank. Like, those goddamn tank controls made it scarier because you couldn't just, you know, turn on a dime. You had to fucking, like, take your time and rotate and then run this way and then rotate and then run that way. Like, you know, very, I mean, the game mechanic worked for freaking you out, but it was not a very good game mechanic in terms of, you know, being a game, but very, very fun. But the only thing that really freaked me out, and I mean, four was pretty good at being scary, but the very first thing that scared me, like, legitimately, because I wasn't expecting it, if you remember, is, you know, most people know that when you headshot a zombie, especially in Resident Evil games, it's more effective because you can down them faster, waste less bullets, right? So I was headshotting a zombie just like I did before in the other parts of the levels. But this time, that weird, what is that shit? That, like, tendril or whatever comes out with that little scythe at the end. Do you remember what that thing is?
It sounds like that thing from Half-Life.
Kind of. So, like, this weird tendril comes out with a scythe, and it whips around, and I was a decent distance away from it, and it still hit me. And I was like, oh, shit, because I thought it was just going to fall down dead. I had no idea. It's like, it's gotten more, you know, and I was like, oh, God, this is not going to be fun.
So this it made is bullshit. Me,
and it happened specifically when you headshot them. So I was like, fuck, like, at that point, I was like, god damn it, I really liked headshotting zombies, and now I'm gonna have to, like, do something else, or have to deal with this weird whippy scythe crap
thing.
I don't know what it's called. It's like, it looks like it's part of that infection that's become, like, a tentacle or something. It's very weird. But yeah, that game was good at making me feel kind of icky. Like,
icky. That icky is the best type of scary, though.
Yeah,
I think like jump scares are lame, but icky, like, body horror sort of stuff.
Yeah,
is creepy as fuck.
That game, especially since it was like the Plagueis virus or whatever. It wasn't just the T virus. It was like this weird thing that was like mutating people while they were still, like, alive.
Ugh.
So
I hate that.
Yeah. And they have this interesting gross, like, plot device where I think Leon was, like, infected at one point. So he's having these nightmares of himself being infected and turning into, like, a creature and all this shit. I like Leon.
One of the more legitimately upsetting things, like, scary things I've seen in a video game, and it was, like, just, like, the tiniest little bit, and I bet, like, the developers, like, put this in the game, they're like, oh, this is just, like, part of the story, nobody's gonna be really freaked out about this, was this bit in Halo 3. And I don't know if you guys know it as well as I do, but, like, when the Flood first crash lands on Earth, and, like, it starts spreading all over the immediate area, and, like, there's this one bit where, like, a human gets infected, and it's just, like, totally, like, it had never gone in that sort of detail in the game before.
Huh.
And you, like, hear him screaming and being transformed. It's like that sort of stuff. Just
could you see it, or you just heard it?
You could see it. You could see it. It's like I forget what the level name is, but it's like the Flood come to Earth and they crash, and, like, the Flood spores come out and they start infecting people, and that sort of shit really, really legitimately creeps me out.
Well, that seems, like, The Walking Dead right now, which is really popular. A lot of people.
I don't think that's scary. Like, I've had this discussion. I remember reading, like, when I saw 28 Days Later, like, a couple years after it came out.
Right.
So, I remember reading Simon Pegg of like Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz and all that, wrote an essay talking about how he thought that 28 Days Later was like super lame compared to other sort of like other sort of yeah, I know, and I like Simon Pegg a lot, but I think that he was
It's
just being
sort
dumb
of,
and
it's just,
well.
it's those zombie purists beating
Yeah, it's
off,
a zombie
basically.
purist sort of stuff. But I thought, 28 Days Later was scary because one, they were fast, which is a lot scarier than just a lot of lumbering bullshit. And two, like it goes more in depth to like the actual infection. Like it talks about the actual virus, which is creepy to me. Like the idea of a pandemic is creepy.
But that's
You
what
know
I
that?
meant. That's
Yeah.
so Walking Dead, one of the things that, like, if you've watched the show or whatever, one of the things they kind of expand upon with the zombie element is that, like, not only like, hey, if you're bitten, then you're gonna die and then become a zombie, but some people
Yeah.
start feeling weird effects while they're still kind of a lot, and I mean not like super alive, but when they're in that kind of, in between life and death sort
Yeah.
of phase. And I always found that element, like that contamination or
Yeah.
infection thing, freaky because you don't know, like, if you get bit, will you turn? Or like the infection of 28 Days Later, like that one is really fast. You get
That was what was creepy about it. Like it was just so
a drop of that
virulent.
blood in your
Yeah.
eye or something
Like
like that, and then.
there's a bit in the movie where like one of the soldiers is struggling with the mailer, I think he's called. The guy who lives at the mansion. And like the guy just starts puking in his eyes. Like it's just so gross. Like that's so obscene. And I remember watching, I'm just like, oh man,
And
that's so bad.
the thing with that rage virus is, like, in most other zombie things, there'd be like a delay. But with that
Yeah.
rage virus, it's like, I think
Well,
they were
they
infected in
like have
like 10
se
seconds.
they had like seizures and stuff, which made it even worse. You know, it's just that's legitimately scary. It's so creepy.
But,
Speaking of like body horror and stuff, I guess let Knox go first.
okay.
Like, what's scary for you, Knox?
Scary for me.
Yeah.
I guess game-wise, scary for me. I always found, and I riff on Ocarina of Time a lot, but I found a lot of elements in that game to have a particularly eerie kind of aspect to them that kind of creeped me out.
That one more than
Wait, I was going
Majora's
to say,
Mask.
a lot of people think Majora's Mask is way
Well, Majora's
freakier.
Mask is, it is, that is, I mean, that is as well. And it's the whole tone of Majora's Mask, and that is so overtly depressing. And
With that creepy, like, was it the
the
moon or
moon's
whatnot?
just staring down at you, and it's like, I'm going to kill you, happy face. Everyone's like,
God, that
it's
was
not going to
weird.
happen.
Have
It's
you ever
not going to
seen,
happen.
have you seen, I was looking at, because I never played that one, but I was watching a YouTube video of, like, if you fuck up and I guess time runs out, and all these people, I think they, don't they do little cut-tos of, like, the different people are like, oh, here's a clip really quick of each person that you failed, and like everyone's gonna like die now. So it kind of compounds on your failure because it's not just you that failed. You failed this entire group of people because
Really,
now like
exactly.
everybody's dead. But
But as I was gonna say, I've always been very kind of freaked out by just sort of instant death mechanics, you know? Like Sonic always had the crushing objects that just fucked with me. I was like,
Oh my God, those cylinders in Metropolis
Metropolis
freaked me
Zone.
out.
Yeah, that was my
Yeah.
first real encounter with it, and I was like,
Oh,
ugh!
I thought you were
Yeah.
gonna say the bubbles
Oh God,
underwater.
well yeah, the bubbles are the scariest one.
The music was scary, but I think yeah, like those cylinders. Like the first time I got to Metropolis Zone, I ran over those cylinders and it crushed me. I think I legitimately freaked out.
was
Like I think
also
I started yelling.
They were unique because they came up from the fucking ground, which I don't think they've
Yeah.
really been doing that throughout the game, and it was
Yeah. Well,
so sudden.
they had those bits in Scrap Brain Zone in the first game
Boom.
that were like that.
Oh
Yeah.
yeah. But it was so fast.
Yeah. Those
That
things
was
were
really
like,
the
yeah.
those pistons were just pff, dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, so
Fuck.
whenever I like in Zelda Ocarina of Time, going back to this, there were certain monsters in that game that like they wouldn't kill you instantly. But they'd start strangling you.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Like
And
those
you would
big,
have
like
to.
skull-looking things.
Yeah, that was one of them. And then there were these kind of
Yeah.
hand-looking creepers on the floor that, like, when you kill
Yeah.
them, they turn into smaller hands that would grab you by the throat.
Are they like,
And
what do they call, wall masters or whatever?
yeah, floor
Yeah,
masters.
there's.
Or
Yeah,
floor
yeah.
masters. Wall masters were the one that came from the ceiling and grabbed you.
Well,
That
like,
was
because
freaking up to me.
they originally came from the very first game, right? Because they used to have those in the dungeons where it was just a hand that was like moving down the side, like, and if it grabbed you, it pulled you all the way back to the beginning of the dungeon.
Oh, that was always creepy to me. That kind of stuff. I've always one game I've been playing of late that I found particularly creepy is System Shock 2. And yeah. You know, this is going back to the idea of jump scares versus atmosphere and bodily horror and things like right. that. This is definitely more of kind of an atmospheric creepy approach to it because yeah. I mean, it's not really when you're playing it, it's not really many moments where you get startled and you're kind of like, oh, but there's this overlying atmosphere of, you know, you're on this ship, something has gone dreadfully wrong.
Right.
Every once in a while when you walk into a corridor, you just see, like, suddenly flashes of people running away from whatever's happening, but you never see what's happening to them. And it's like this ghostly outline, and they're just, it's a really bizarre setting. And then I got, like, at one point, you walk, and all of a sudden it goes this cutscene of whatever the entity is that's affecting everyone. It's this really bizarre, creepy voice, just like, you shall stay forever in our symphony of joy, or something. And you're just like, and it's not even, there's no face, it's just a disembodied voice amongst all this fleshy kind
of... Did System Shock 2 come out before or after Event Horizon?
I'm actually not sure.
Isn't that a similar sort of idea? Like, you know, killer spaceship?
Well, it makes me think of, like, that reminds me of kind of like the Overwatch from Half-Life 2. Sort of.
But I never got like, freaked out by that.
Freaks... When you listen to, like, the terminology it uses, and I didn't realize this until I read about it, but, like, number one, it's that weird... It's Gladys's voice, but you didn't know that till later.
Right.
So, I mean, you hear this... Like, I hear it now, and I think it's Gladys, and it makes me laugh, but, like, at the time, I would listen to it, and it's like, this thing was talking about, like, you know... It talks about people and, like, people are a disease. Like, humans are a disease on the planet. Like, it's how it literally refers to people. Yeah. And it talks about, like, cauterize the wound. It's giving orders to the soldiers. It's like, cauterize the wound, remove infection. You know, it says shit like that. Hmm. It's fucking weird, you know? And it's supposed to be a computer saying that.
Right.
Yeah. Oof.
This is... But, I mean... Another thing about...
Are you getting freaked out?
I'm getting a little freaked out. Well, I'm reading about other stuff, too, while we're talking about this. So it's, like, all piling on top of each other.
Now you're getting into the holiday spirit.
Yeah. I just like things that have this eerie sense of abandonment to them. Like,
yeah.
You know, the beginning of... Not so much once you're acquainted with levels and stuff, but the very beginning of BioShock does a really good job setting you're saying, the ambience... Like,
right.
It's not necessarily like, oh, I'm a bit wetting my pants kind of thing, but it's like you feel really uneasy and you don't know yet the atmosphere that you've placed yourself into. And there's a lot of really good lighting and, you know, shadow work where it's like it's a while before you really start experiencing most of the denizens down there. So, you know, like you don't know what to expect and you see that first Big Daddy and you're like, oh, my God. So, like, they do a really good job initially. Of setting the stage. And that,
you know, it makes perfect sense because BioShock is basically an extension of the System Shock series. And in a lot of aspects, it's very spiritually related to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's definitely one of the things about it that I'm kind of getting the sense of. They're both really presenting this atmosphere where it's just, you know, something's gone wrong. You don't quite know what it is, but you know it's going to really fuck you up if you kind of get out of... If you start getting lazy and just running around, there's something around every corner that can kill you.
You know, speaking of that, I was watching Adam Sessler and one of the other guys with him at Rev3 on this video stream of them playing Outlast. If you guys have played Outlast. Outlast, you've heard of Amnesia, yeah?
Yeah.
So, of course. Outlast is sort of like... At least from me watching them play, almost kind of like a modern day version of it. Because, you know, Amnesia takes place in, what was it, like the 1800s or something like that. Seems like it's significantly a long time ago. And Outlast, you're like a modern day journalist and you have your little camera, like video camera, and you're trying to investigate some creepy like building or something. I didn't really understand what the full story was because they were kind of running through it. But it's much the same kind of feel like Amnesia, where you're a guy that could totally die in, like, maybe 3 hits. You can't defend yourself. Like, it doesn't allow you to. So you have to just basically tiptoe around things or areas that have unknown evils in them. Like, there's this one part that reminds me of, like, even more confusing version of Amnesia, where you're in this underground, like super dark area where there's just like a lot of like maybe like ankle deep water around you. And you can kind of sometimes hear this huge monster trudging around in the back, and you're like, ah, I need to stay away from whatever that splashing noise is. Oh my god. And then, like, if you run, he gets to you faster, so you have to do everything slowly. So it's really freaky. Now, granted, later on when you see face-to-face some of these enemies, they look a little cheesy. Like, there's this doctor that looks like his skin has all been flayed. So he is talking to you very closely, and he like tries to torture you or something. But he's also totally naked except for an apron. So I was watching Conan O'Brien recently play this, you know, in his series that he does.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was making fun of the fact that the dude is, you know, his ass cheeks are just hanging out. So I was like, yeah, it does look cheesy, like when you can actually see the enemy clearly, like the Amnesia enemies. Like when you actually look at them, they're like, wow, that looks fucking weird. Like those long mouthed like dudes that chase after you and stuff.
Yeah.
When you can't see them, and when they're far away and you're just hearing that wah, you know, like weird atmospheric music super loud and stuff, it's scary, because it's that same like your imagination is freaking you out more than the actual thing in the game. And Outlast kind of does that. Their thing that they add instead of the little tinder boxes and light that the Amnesia thing does, you know, where you have a finite supply of tinder boxes, is the video camera. Because the video camera has night vision on it. So you can pick up the video camera and put it to your face and be able to see in the dark in these really dark areas, but you only have a certain number of batteries. So once you run out of the batteries, you're going to be stuck running through an area that's like, you're going to be totally in the dark running through an area. But I think maybe, at least for me, maybe for you guys, that seems to be the running trend. Like, the imagination thing versus directly seeing whatever the enemy is from all these different games. Like, the atmosphere, the creepiness, that seems to, in the long run, freak me out more than just having some big, burly, like, monster dude in my face going like, you know?
Well, it depends on if it's done well, I think. Or it's just a combination of factors, you know?
Yeah.
Like some of this shit mixed together works. Like, body horror mixed together with, like, a creep factor would work. Like, Aliens kind of, like Alien, the first movie's kind of that way.
Yeah.
Or,
you know, but, like, The Thing's a good example. Like, that's another movie that legitimately scared
me. Oh, yeah. Well, that's the other thing, too. Other like, games. Even, like, Outlast, that kind of reminds me of that, because with The Thing, they're very limited in terms of how they can protect themselves, right? Like, they don't really have anything. They're just going to get killed, probably, unless they can run away or make, like, a homemade flamethrower or something like that. So that adds to it. When you have that element where you know that the person in danger is that much more vulnerable. When you have a bunch of weapons and stuff, like, that's why Resident Evil at a certain point isn't scary anymore, because you're giving them crazy amounts of ammo or weapons or teammates or something like that, and you're depleting the scary reserves, where, you know, like, before it was just you and a pistol and maybe a knife, which usually sucked, and like, good luck. and that's it, you know? Can you remember, I think Resident Evil 2 might have been the only one to do this, but they actually had that tofu mode, where, like, if you beat the game, like, really fast or a certain number of times or something, instead of playing as a person, you played as a giant block of tofu. I'm serious. You played as a giant block of tofu, but the only weapon you could have as a tofu was a knife. So you'd have to be able to knife everything you came across. It was like super hard mode, basically.
Yeah.
But it's kind of funny, because you're a big white block. This is like,
because you're tofu, because you're bean curd.
Yeah, exactly. All those zombies want to eat the bean curd.
Yeah.
Bean curd.
You know what used to, creep me out? When games fucked up. Like, to get a little meta here.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when glitches. I mean, glitches of all kinds. And like, Nox talking about Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of reminded me about it. I'm not talking, like creepypasta stuff. Like, there's a story that's been going around. Like, some guy made these videos about, like, how there was an error. Or he had this, like, haunted copy of Majora's Mask.
Oh,
and,
God.
Like, it was just some sort of dumb shit like that. And it was okay to begin with, but then it just got dumb, you know?
Someone had a similar... What were you going to say?
No, go on, go on, go
No,
on.
in terms of creepypasta, someone else had one about like this like weird version of a Pokemon cartridge. Did you ever read that one?
Yeah, that too. I've seen that, and I've seen one about an old NES Godzilla game. Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, and but I mean, as far as like actual like glitches or Easter eggs go, like the first, I think it was the first game in Shin Megami Tensei. You know the series like where Persona kind of shoots off. Like the first one on the SNES, there was a apparently an Easter egg. It was only discovered in like 2003. There was an Easter egg where one out of every, what was it, 65,536 times you'd start the game, it would bug out, and it would show up on the screen, like it would just be like this Discord and like noise, like
Like
kind of
on
like the
purpose?
like yeah on purpose. This is on purpose. This is like it's like an e like a purposely discordant like EMS tone, like what you hear on the TV when there's a tornado or something. And like what would happen, like it would just in it was only released in Japan, I think. So on the screen it would say in Japanese, it would say like turn it off now, and it just says it all over. Like just it just covers the screen. It says turn it off now in bright red letters, and it's going
Jesus.
Err. Yeah.
Oh,
So I mean that would creep me the fuck out.
you know, speaking of that, have you ever played Eternal Darkness?
No,
Because
I
if
have
you
not.
like that kind of stuff, you probably like Nox. Have you played Eternal Darkness? Nox?
Is he
Can't
there?
say that I have, no.
No, because they did something like that where Eternal Darkness. It's been forever since I played it, but it had something like a sanity meter or something like that. I guess Amnesia copied it because they also
Oh
had a sanity
yeah.
meter.
Yeah, I was
So,
saying.
as I think, as your sanity depletes, it's weird stuff starts happening to your. It's not really happening to your game, but you think it's happening to your game. Like your game
Yeah.
will like mute or get distorted or
That's kind of
whatever.
cool.
So you think like you know at the time when you were originally playing it, you think it's like your game acting up or like oh did I accidentally mute my TV or something like that?
Yeah.
Like stuff that'll creep you out just because it's like. Unexpected, but that what you were just describing reminds me of that, like where they purposely put that in the game
Yeah.
to make you feel uncomfortable so that it kind of puts you better in the mood of what your character is experiencing.
Yeah, there's a bit like that in Yume Nikki too, and I've talked about this game in the past.
Well, that game has some really that weird thing that
Well,
people did where you turn the light on and off like 500 times.
that thing's like fucking overrated. It's the same thing. There's a couple things like that in that game.
But
The
it's
one you're
creepy
talking
when
about,
it first
it's
happens.
creepy when it happens, but it's like, when you see it on YouTube all the time. And I'm a big fan of this game. Like I'm really deep into the fan base
Right.
because I just enjoy it. And like that's when it's like when I talk about Pyramid Head and with regard to Silent Hill, it's like what a new person thinks. Like it's all about Ubua. When I think about Ume Nikki, it's Ubua, But when there's a lot genuinely more creepy things in that game. One of them being like where like when the character goes to sleep, there's a section where it's like the first Earthbound game. It's the first mother, where like she is like wheeling around a dungeon, and she goes to like and she talks to like one section of a wall, and it will purposely bug out. Like it'll just like a dialogue box will pop up, but it'll be empty. And you keep doing it, and like progressively it gets more like it has like air tiles showing up on the screen, and eventually the game just it locks up, quote unquote, and then you wake up. Like she wakes up from her dream,
Weird.
It's stuff like that. Yeah, it's weird. I mean, it's a weird game, and God, I fucking love that game. And I know every time I mention it, Itchy's like, "Oh God, here he goes
Well, just
again."
because it, you know. You used to
Well,
mention it a lot before.
I do, I still do. I mean, it's and the I bring it up now because like they're starting to make like a comic based on it and stuff.
That's when it starts becoming kind of, I don't know, like
Well, I think that's kind of
overdone.
lame. I actually think that's kind of lame.
Yeah.
Because it took 8 years for them to do that. And number two is like, the part of the reason that this game is so creepy and good is because there's really just a completely bare bones story. Like there's no story to speak of besides the one that you surmise from what is going on in Madotsuki's dreams.
Right.
Yeah. As far as like other stuff goes, like kind of in the same vein that like indie sort of thing, there's this game called, have you heard of Demonophobia?
No.
It's a Japanese game. This is like Japan epitomized, I think,
Huh.
because it's like it's gross, so it's gore survival horror. It's Goro, so it's like almost stereotypical. It's like this schoolgirl like tries to summon a demon,
Oh,
and she ends
God.
up in hell herself, where it's just like myriad ways that this girl can die, and you can think of anything, and I can guarantee you it like happens to them. You can be as gory as you want, and it happens to her. You know, it's just, it's almost like gore porn.
Have you noticed, like, I mean, it's not like they're the only ones that make it, but there seem to be quite a lot of Japanese scary, creepy games compared to games made from other parts of the world.
It's a distinct style. Like, maybe they enjoy it more. I think it's just a distinct style.
Have you ever played the Clock Tower series?
Yeah, it's like that, you know.
Yeah, like where, oh, you're just a little girl and you're constantly on the run from room to room from this big, this guy with this huge pair of creepy ass scissors that's trying to like chop your head off.
If he cut off your Johnson.
You wriggling little penis.
But they made so many of those things. I think they even made one for like the first PlayStation or the second one.
Yeah, it was like originally SNES, I think.
Yeah.
I watched a Game Center episode where he played that. But of course, he was like lambasting it the whole time. Well, I didn't think it was that scary.
Well, it's scary when you're playing it because it's that same thing of like, you need to get away from that guy right now. Yeah. Like, and it's impending doom, you feel. So it's more like you feel kind of prickly because you're trying to get away, not necessarily because the guy himself is scary, but just because you don't want your character to die. So it's that unease is the creep factor, not the actual monster. But yeah, there's kind of a lot of, I mean, if you're itching to play any Halloween or like creepy themed games, I think a lot of the ones we mentioned today are definitely worth checking out.
Well, I just want to say Demonophobia. I've only watched videos of it. Demonophobia looks like a pretty terrible game.
Demonophobia?
Demonophobia. Demonophobia.
Right.
I don't know. It's demonophobia.
That's even really what the term is called.
Demonic. And it's apparently, you know, it's not popular for a good reason, because like I was going to say,
it
looks like a shitty game. But it's like some of the stuff is legitimately...
Well,
you see gore in movies. Yeah. And it's like, but this is like... sort of like torture porn almost.
Oh, well, that's...
It's weird. Yeah, it's not, I mean, it's not my thing, but it's creepy as fuck, you know?
You know, one thing... that goes on. Well, speaking of things that aren't really... Well, like, that Slender game that everyone's always talking about?
Well, like, the Slender Man?
Slender Man.
What the fuck is that all about?
I didn't really find that one scary. It's too much just leading to one specific event. You know, like... if you put it head-to-head with Amnesia or any other kind of similar first-person game, even, I don't know, Fatal Frame or something like that, I think it's so lacking because you're really counting on the fact that that player is going to be scared by, like, the Slender Man.
Yeah.
And he's barely there.
What makes it not scary for me is that I've seen that meme develop, like, for over years, you know? Like, when it was, like, a new thing on X, on 4chan board X, you know? And I've seen it develop. It's just like it's ruined the mystique, I guess. Mm-hmm. Know, seeing people come up with this stuff. It's kind of that way with like all the creepypasta too. It's like at a certain point, it just gets lame. You know, it reminds me of like it reminds me of like old Red versus Blue episode, the Halo Machinima, where like it was funny at first because it was actually lambasting the game, but then they introduce a story, and it just gets fucking lame. You know, like these guys can't write worth a damn.
Oh, before I forget, I'm trying to remember. There is a really creepy game. Is it called? It's an old game. I think it was for PlayStation 1. I think it's called Heart of Darkness.
Yes.
Did you ever play that? That is fucking creepy just because the ways that that poor kid, that main character kid, can get killed.
Yeah.
Is actually kind of disturbing. Like, if you ever played, before this game, if you ever played Out of This World, which is that really stylized, blocky-looking game.
Was that French game?
Yeah. You're this, like, kind of ginger guy that gets stuck on an alien world, and you have almost no way to defend yourself, and you move kind of clunkily, so, like, you're always kind of running away from, like, a bad guy. He can die in really awful ways. But Heart of Darkness feels like some kind of, like, upgraded version of that, where you're, like, this kid, this kind of innocent little kid that's in this creepy landscape, and I think you actually do have a weapon. I can't remember. It's been a while since I've seen it, but somebody once on YouTube, like, look up Heart of Darkness and, like, deaths, and a lot of really, it's 2D animated, but there's a lot of really grisly ways that this young kid can, like, eat it, and I was like, oh my god, like,
that sounds like Oddworld.
Yeah, that's almost scary creepy in itself, because it's like, you don't want that to happen to that kid.
I don't want Abe to get chopped up in a bone saw.
Yeah.
Oddworld was, like, the first game that actually, bone saw! Oddworld was one of the first games that kind of like had weird, like that weird creep factor, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like getting caught in bone saws. What else was there? Like falling down pits or getting hit by like falling barrels and rocks and what was there was some other weird ones. Like blowing yourself apart because you possess something. Like the best part about the game is like when you possess an enemy, you kill them like not by like, I mean you can throw them off cliffs and stuff like that, but like if you just depossess them, they explode, which is
Oh.
creepy to me. Like they're just their bodies. You never played an Oddworld game?
Well,
Like
it's
that's
been
part of
a
the core game
long-ass
mechanic.
time.
Like you possess a Slig and you'll depossess them and they will literally explode.
Oh, the bad guys. I thought you meant the good guys. I was like, I
No,
don't
they don't.
remember that happening.
No.
They
The
follow me,
bad guys
okay.
explode. Yeah. No. Well, I
But
mean, yeah, you can throw them into bone saws
I
too,
don't
but
want to do that.
bone saw.
I can't stop. I'm
Oh,
sorry.
God.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of games that not necessarily are scary themselves, but it's scary because you don't want that kind of fate to befall your own character, you know?
God, bugs are creepy.
Bugs?
Bugs, like.
Like bugs?
Right. Got Colin?
Oh, that's creepy. And then his call was dropped as he was mysteriously eaten by bugs. But I think
Eaten by bugs, swarm of locusts.
that is really kind of creepy because as he was describing that, he just got like he just disappeared. Yeah, I think he said his phone restarted, but I think we've kind of touched upon a lot of good a lot of good examples. Unless you have another one to
Oh crap, sorry. Well, I should mention this just because Doom.
Oh, yeah, the
Doom.
demons, all the little hell demons or whatever
I
they're.
was D Doom, I'll admit, was probably at least in part because when it came out, I was 6, 7 years old.
So that's not when you should be playing that game.
Probably not, but my parents didn't really have any limitations on me, so of
Right.
course my dad, you know, he was into it because he worked in the law office and he was one of those people who's like, yeah, let's just set up a death match over the LAN network here at the office, you know, it just would totally kill his productivity by
Oh,
playing
man.
Doom. But he brought it home one day, and you know, I guess the way that game kind of evolved over the course of like, well, the first episode is just a sort of abandoned base. It's really quiet. Like the opposition is your former friends and mixed with these demons that can throw fireballs at you. In the second episode, you start to see these like hellish aspects kind of evolve into the maps and stuff, and it's sort of a blend of the tech and the hell. And then at the end of the second episode, you encounter the cyber demon for the first time, which is really like, I mean, the thing.
When you say cyber demon, there's something about that phrase that doesn't sound scary to me. It starts sounding like in the camp section, you know, like
Yeah,
it's.
well, I mean, it's obviously Doom has a lot of camp when you go back and
Right,
you look
right.
at it. But to like a 7 or 8 year old, you just hear that kind of like roar it makes, followed by that metal hoof just stomping on the ground repeatedly. And all of a sudden, you get hit by a fucking wayward rocket, and you're like one shot killed. That just had not happened at all up to that point in the game.
Yeah.
It is kind of like, holy fuck, what just happened? How am I going to beat this thing? And you keep shooting it, it just won't fucking die. And that music's going over and over again. And you're just like, just fuck it. I can't do this, guys. My brain can't comprehend this right
Especially at 7 years old.
yeah. Being a 7 year old kid,
Oh
just
my God.
I honestly think games, it takes a lot for games to scare me now because when I was 7 or 8, I was just so goddamn scared by the stupid level in Doom that it's like, well, you gotta recreate that atmosphere for me.
Is that one of the things that, like, if you play it now, you'll kind of get some weird nostalgic kind of feeling? Like, you'll be like, ugh. Like, you'll feel kind of like, you know, now it's not scary.
Yeah, there are
But you'll
certain things,
recall that time.
certain moments. Yeah, absolutely. There's also the PlayStation version of Doom that can be pretty creepy because, like, the graphics are kind of toned down, and color lighting's added, and the music is completely changed out for the sort of ambient soundtrack of like wailing children. It's really bizarre and like it gets really eerie, and it almost recreated the kind of horrifying aspect. Because Doom was like, when you go back, it's always more action than horror. But the PlayStation version kind of blended the two, and it was really well done.
Yeah, I never played the PlayStation version.
And then there are the Archfiles, which are these incredibly quick-moving monsters, and, you know, they first appeared in the second game, and fuck that, man. They can revive dead enemies, and the first time you encounter it, it's just like, you've never encountered anything like this before up to that point, so you just, like, the door pops open, and this thing flies at you and starts setting you on fire, and you just run across the level.
Oh, man.
And they can shoot you from anywhere. They can hit you from anywhere, right, as long as they're in line of sight. But,
yeah, if they can see you, they can hit you. Hmm. But, like, and if you go back later on and you see it, but, like, it's got all these people around him. It's like, I killed all these motherfuckers. Why? And then you're like, oh, this, he's reviving dead enemies. That sucks. So yeah, when I was, like, you know, single, you know, third grade playing this game, that, like, and I think part of it is also the fact that, you know, I mean, it was sort of the first really well done 3D illusion, because it wasn't true 3D. So yeah, you had, like, these kind of rotating sprites that gave the monsters a bit of depth, but were also just pixelated enough that you could fill in the gaps. Yeah. So. Yeah. I was a very imaginative child, and I still have a pretty vivid.
So that comes, it comes back around again to the whole, or at least my belief, that the more imagination you can put into it, the scarier stuff you'll draw from it.
That's why I think that older games are creepier, because he's exactly right, you left a little more to the imagination.
Right.
Yeah.
Or it's like, you know, I don't know how to place it, but it's like, it seems something that's poorly made.
Mm-hmm.
Is a lot scarier. I don't know why. I don't know if it's like that for you. Like I was talking about this with somebody. It's like, nowadays, I can't tell if it's just because I got older.
Mm.
But it's like, and I know this well because I grew up in Missouri and I see, like, tornado warnings a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I was a kid, they were a lot scarier because, like, when you watch the Weather Channel, it was like that really bare bones. Sort of, I mean, the interface, or like the way the warnings appeared on the screen,
mm-hmm.
was a lot less refined than it is now, if that makes sense. It's like,
that's stupid.
I was going to say, some people get scared, like, even when I was a kid, and they did those emergency tests more often on TV and stuff. Sometimes it would just happen and it would go,
yeah, exactly.
And you're like, what, I mean, what the fuck is happening?
And those always seem to happen when I was, like, half asleep, too. So it'd just be like,
I mean, when you grow up in Missouri, you're used to tornado. I mean, it happens, like, every summer. There's thunderstorms and shit. You know, happens, and you get kind of used to it. Absolutely. But when you're a little kid, and it's like the sirens are going off outside.
Yeah.
And, like, all of a sudden, like they break into, like, every cable channel. It's just like this guy with this crackly ass microphone from the National Weather Service up in St. Charles breaking in over the audio on your TV. It's really discordant. And it's like, there's been a tornado warning issued for St. Louis City and St. Louis, you know, stuff like that. It's creepy as a kid.
Hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you know, something that people that move to San Francisco may not know, or sometimes it takes them a while to realize, is that it's been a while since I've been there, obviously. But when I was growing up, every Tuesday at noon, I don't even know where the siren came from, but there would always be an air raid siren that plays and goes, and it lasts for like about a minute or two, and then it goes away, and then you know, whatever. But, I mean, I'm sure just would play, you know, for maintenance and to make sure, you know, like, the system's always working or whatever. But I do recall somebody that visited that was like, what the fuck is that? Because they didn't know that it plays every
did they do that for earthquakes or what?
No. Well, maybe. I mean, it's done that ever since I was a kid. So, I mean, probably obviously even earlier than that. But, like, I guess it would just always be like a weekly reminder that, like, hey, here's our air raid. It's still working, you know.
So I remember they do that every month here, like the first Monday of the month at 11. They'll play the tornado sirens. And, like, when, you know, I'm used to it now. But, like, there were two instances when it bothered me. Like, one, when I was really little.
Mm.
And, like, I remember I was with my mom in the kitchen when I was, like, 4 years old. And I heard it for the first time, but it was, like, sunny outside, so I freaked out because I felt like it was
tornado was coming. My mom was like, don't worry, it's just a test. But I didn't understand the concept of a test then, you know. Yeah. So, you know, there was that. And then, like, when I first moved into the city of St. Louis, like, when I went to St. Louis University, I was, like, taking a nap. You know, I'm laying in my dorm taking a nap. And it would go off. So the tornado siren goes off, and that's fine. But the thing was, and you got to remember, this was around the time that Half-Life 2 was out, and I talked about this, that, like, it talks in the city. Like, the tornado sirens talk. Like, it breaks out, and it's really weird because, like, it echoes off the buildings. And it would be like, this is a required monthly test, and on the St. Louis Police Department, blah, 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 and it echoes off the buildings, and it's creepy as fuck, you know? Ugh. Yeah.
Duck and cover.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Duck and cover.
Anyway, I think that's a pretty good variety. I think we had not too shabby.
Tornadoes and Japanese schoolgirls being killed.
Jesus. And monsters and
good solid combination.
Cyber demons.
Cyber demons and zombies. Files.
Shoot the cyber demon.
Speaking of zombies and monsters, though, one thing I didn't mention, just because I haven't played it, was either you guys played Stalker?
Yes, I have.
Stalker, well, I've heard people say that one's pretty freaky.
It's pretty weird.
That's
weird because, like, that fear of, like, radiation is also, like, tuned with that body horror thing that I was talking about.
Right. You guys have seen, it's pretty famous now, that one clip that, you know, that guy that goes, like the troll-a-lol guy?
Yeah.
How somebody changed an audio file or something in Stalker, so they're underground in that game.
Oh, yeah.
And they start hearing the echo of, and then you see, what's funny is he hams it up when he's recording it, too. Like, he's like, oh, like, he's freaking out, and he's trying to go up the stairs. And it starts, it starts looping. I'll put a link to this in the show notes, but it starts looping, like, ho, 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 ho. And it's creepy because it's heavily echoing off the walls. So it sounds actually really ominous somehow. Like, it's really weird how that plays off of, like, somehow becoming instantly scary because you can't see what that thing is that's making that noise, but it's getting closer because the song's getting louder. So he bolts up this, like, destroyed looking spiral staircase to get out of that underground area, and then he just, like, hides outside where he hears the song, like, diminish, and he just kind of looks around like, oh god, like, what was that? But after I saw that clip,
that was a great video. I thought that was a really well done video.
Well, I was like, if that game is anything like that, that's got to be a pretty scary game.
There was a Left 4 Dead mod where somebody replaced all the infected noises with sounds from Macho Man.
Oh, well, so, that's not scary.
Have you seen this? Knox, you get a kick out of this. But like you like they respawn, like, they spawn zombies, and all you hear is, ooh, yeah, and they start running. It's like, ah,
snap into a spin gym.
He's like,
in the danger zone.
Yeah. You know, there was that time where everybody was into putting Macho Man and everything. Like, they put Macho Man in Left 4 Dead. They made a Macho Man dragon for Skyrim that was like, oh, yeah. And he even had, like, the fucking hat and stuff. It was really strange.
I want to see that
Macho Man. Macho Man, everything about Macho Man is amazing.
Well, it's creepy, though, because it looked like a human mixed with a dragon, because it was still very vaguely, like, reminiscent of him. So I was like, okay.
I'm a dragon.
Yeah, exactly.
360.
Yeah, if you can find a video of that, just check it out. It's really weird. But the Macho Man Left 4 Dead was funny because it's like, normally there's some parts of Left 4 Dead that are pretty creepy, but not with Macho Man though. Not so creepy then.
It's hilarious then.
Yeah.
The only really creepy part of Left 4 Dead is getting puked on. That grosses me out.
Or instantly getting jumped on by a hunter that you
know. No, that doesn't bother me that much. Getting puked, I'm telling you, it's all about the body horror. Like, getting puked on, that's fucking gross.
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. You're running along and all of a sudden, oh, I've got bile in my eyes and I stink.
I've never been scared by Left 4 Dead, but I have been annoyed a good number of times by you setting off alarms.
No. I can imagine.
Are you guys ready? Oh, you son of a bitch.
See, Knox is just mad because I always play Ellis and I run around and I spam, like, I'll play Nick and Smile, run around.
I like doing that too. It's funny because he has, like, at least four different variations of Ellis. Like he's making fun of, like, how Ellis talks.
Yeah.
Poor Ellis. But yeah, I used to use that trick where it's like I knew everyone was pretty close to the safe house, and then there's a car, and I'm like, I can make it in the safe house. And then I shoot the car, and then I bolt to the safe house, and then close it. And then they're like, oh, and then they run to the door, and then they start to open it, and then I close it.
I do that to Knox every time.
You and Dark both do that.
I'm the worst.
You're fuckers.
Iggy knows Dark. Iggy knows how Dark and I are. So, I mean, you can imagine us just trying to piss off Knox the whole time, just shooting the cars and everything.
You know, we should do a team sometime with the four of us and then see if we even get past the first level. The thing is,
they know it pisses me off because as soon as all those zombies get on the screen, I have horrible fucking lag.
This computer sucks.
You know, there's something...
fucking shitheads.
There's something unintentionally hilarious to me when I see people hopping around the screen, like when they can't control their fucking lag. Like, you see them struggling, like, must get faster, must go to door, you know, like, they just can't make it in time.
If this ever does happen, you will have no end of amusement.
Oh, man, hell yeah.
Must go faster.
Anyway, That's more than enough for this week. I hope everybody's going to have a fun time, fun, safe, happy Halloween. Yes.
Yeah. St. Louis is going to have a good one because the Cardinals lost. Aww.
Time to get drunk.
I'm surprised Knox is the baseball fan. He isn't that upset.
No, you see, here's the whole thing. I stopped caring a while ago. I think the Cards fans maybe draw a line in the sand.
Yep.
Where I was just there like, we go. You know what? You fucked it up.
We'll talk about that.
Go watch hockey.
Well, to celebrate, well, as a non-sports way of celebrating this week, everyone should either dress up or play a good creepy themed game. I think that's appropriate.
I won't be doing anything game related.
Oh. Sorry. And do something Halloween, like costume related.
I'm going as Scott Smalls from The Sandlot. So
what?
That's pretty good.
I'm gonna have a black eye, a baseball cap, shorts, a tucked in short sleeve shirt, and ankle high, so you know, long socks.
Yes.
I can't wait for people to try to guess what that is.
I will be That's excited to find out. Because I'm going to one of my cousin's parties in San Diego, and it's going to be interesting, because I don't know anybody that's going to be there.
Well, that kind of makes it more fun, because then you're less inhibited, right? Because you don't care.
Exactly. Oh, I'm going to be going crazy.
God.
And I'm going to be saying, more what, the entire time. Piss everyone off.
Okay. Let's go. So, thanks everyone once again for listening. I hope you enjoyed our Halloween special. If you wanted to comment on what your favorite scary game was or what you did this Halloween, feel free to email us at nameofgamepodcast@gmail.com. We have a Facebook group where we post a lot of funny little news or game news tidbits and other things, which is just In the Name of Game on Facebook. We have a Twitter, which is @InTheNameOfGame. And we have our site, which is inthenameofgame.com, where you can listen to this episode and any of our previous ones, as well as any show notes that I will post, you know, with links to stuff that we've talked about. If you don't want to do any of that stuff, we have iTunes, so you can just subscribe to us on iTunes and never listen
so or never look at any of the other stuff.
Yeah, so many ways.
One way, two ways,
three websites. Anyway, thanks, guys. Hope you have a great Halloween. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Later.
We're going.
It's scary.
We've come for your daughter, Chuck.
Can we record that now?
Yeah, I get it.
Shivers down your spine, shrieking skulls will shock your soul, seal